This is Truth and Love Ministries, where we bring people home to God by learning His truth and experiencing His unending love.
If you're feeling trapped, unsure of the next step, and hungry for a deeper relationship with Jesus, then listen in as our guest speaker, Marcus Griffin, reveals a path to greater intimacy through obedience, trust, and moving forward into the plan God has for you.
We pray that this message refreshes you and speaks encouragement to whatever is going on in your life right now. Now, let's take a listen to the message.
Okay, so doing a message entitled Preparing for More. Now, if I was to ask this question, could anybody use a little bit more? And see, I love how I haven't given, like, money or time, but you just know you need some of it. But in order to get more, we have to prepare for more. Because if God is definitely going to give us more, but if we're not preparing and ready for it, have you ever had $100 and you're just looking at it, but the moment you spend five, you can't even talk what happened to the rest of it? Because it goes so fast, it's like it slips through our hands. But we're in a season where when God begins to give us stuff, we want to mature to the fact, to the point that we can handle and hold the more that He gives us. So today, I'm going to give us some things to govern ourselves accordingly. In preparing for more, this is my barber. His name is, I'm clicking, but y'all don't see what I see. Okay, that's my barber, a guy named Vito. I go every 2 weeks on a Thursday, and he does a very good job. I don't care about the going bald part, and I care about my beard part. So when he cuts it too low, I had to let him know I'm paying you, and this is not what I want. But I keep on, I've been in Atlanta for like 10 years, and I've been going to him for like 9 years. The reason why I wanted to start with him, he has a big clientele. So we have to make appointments. You can't just walk in and see him unless somebody has counseled. You have to make an appointment. But what he shares is he still passes out flyers. Let me cut your hair. Because what he began to share is, He wants more business. But what if happened is the people begin to fall off of his clientele already. He needs to replace us. So his preparing for more is to pass out that flyer. Let's say that you are ready to move. This is no one house in here. But let's say you are preparing for more. Where do we start here, huh? But the ideal of me choosing this slide was to say, you first have to decide what you don't need anymore. And I know that can be hard, even for us as men. I have enough clothes that I think I have three closets in different places. Actually, I have four, so see. But every year, I go through, what haven't I worn this year? Now, some stuff I argue with myself, I'm going to wear it again. So I'm not going to get rid of it, so it stays in the closet. Some stuff I cannot wear, because I used to be a larger size. So like I was wearing a 40 waist, I wear a 36 now. And I can't wear it, but because I like it, I convinced myself I'm going to wear it again. When in order to wear it again, I'm going to have to get bigger, which I don't want to get bigger. You see the issue? Just a mess. So in this picture right here, this person has to decide, what do I need to get rid of to move to my new space? Because I can't carry everything. Terrence just got a house. It's beautiful if you haven't been. When you walk in her living room, she has new furniture. Now, I've been with Terrence, for a friend of hers, for a long time, that I recognized the furniture she had in Montgomery, the furniture she had in Columbus, but she recognized she wanted change. So she got rid of the old to embrace the new. Y'all with me? One more picture. Let this be us. We have to ask ourselves, what's next? What's next for my friend group? The people that I fellowship with, am I going to go back to the gym? Food. What do I need to cut back? Family. Although family can be a trigger for some of us, God does not give us an excuse not to be around our family members. So in that, we have to learn to work within that. I'm from Birmingham. I come from one of those families that anything at any moment, one auntie said a wrong thing, this whole thing is shut down. So to the point where I don't go in, don't give me a regular plate, give me a to-go plate so I can be ready if something was to jump off. But what I also do is I give everybody a time frame. I'm only going to be at your house an hour. They don't know that. I know that. Because I come in, Marcus, I take off my shoes. I get Yes, I will take something to drink. Yes, I'll eat and have any kind of conversation. But the moment that 55 minutes I've been here, all right, guys, go to put. You sure you got to leave? I do need to leave now. Because I recognize if I stay any longer, it could get a little interesting. So in that, since God has not released me from going to Birmingham, I have to make it work for all of us. Another question, am I going back to school? Am I getting a new degree? And then our question to ourselves is life in general. Where is my life headed? What is God's will for my life? Let's dive more into all of this. I'm not going to read all the scriptures because I'm coming from multiple scriptures. But the first place is Numbers, the 13th chapter. And it starts off where God is talking, and he says, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel and every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, everyone a ruler among them. So we see from the beginning, this commandment is coming from God. Y'all agree with that? And he's telling them that, I'll paraphrase, he's telling them to see the land. He said, you know, see how strong it is. See how weak it is. See how many people are there. Then he tells, I want to know what the people are like in the city. Tell me about their tents. Tell me about their strongholds. Verse 20, and also while you're in this land, what I want you to do is, I'm moving on over, is the people. What kind of substance do they have? God is doing something. He's letting them know that I am carrying you to a place. He's already said that. I keep harping on that point. Is because when you spend time with God, he gives you what he wants you to have. But we sometimes forget the beginning, that God has actually been the one to tell us this. I'm going to say this verse, and then I'm going to come to where make it more sense. So this is number 13 and 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Everybody say grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I want to deal with grasshoppers. That's how I keep on, work with me, Marcus. I think maybe you should do it.
Okay, well, I can breathe right here.
Okay, because I'm failing.
There you go.
Okay.
I got you.
So, grasshoppers. So in this, you see how small this grasshopper is? Did y'all see how small that grasshopper is? What I have on the top is self-sabotage. Because when God begins to send us to different places, because it's so unfamiliar, we become afraid. We get stuck in, I'm comfortable here because I know everything about here. But you're taking me out of my comfort zone? So we begin to self-sabotage ourselves. Do you see how that lady's looking at this small thing? But remember what the scripture just said. He said, and we became like grasshoppers. So you're saying that you're this small when they're human beings just like you? Yeah. But in my own eyes, it wasn't said that they said we were grasshoppers. I said it. I said that I wasn't smart enough. said, I don't deserve this. So what God wants us to do here is work on your vision. Work on what you see. Because if you see yourself as a grasshopper, you definitely don't see yourself as a human being. Going back to the beginning, God was the one to say, I'm going to give you the land. So all we have to do is go in and possess it, but we have to get out of our own heads. Because you have to remember, the enemy, the devil, he doesn't want us to move. He wants us to stay stagnant. He wants us to stay in the same place. So he first turns us against ourselves. You ever notice, let's say you're working and your prayer has been, you know, God, help me with people. And then you go to work, you have some good days, he's helping you with people, you're smiling. Then you're like, okay, God, I want to be used in my church. He creates opportunities for you to be used in your church. God, help me with family members. He helps you with family members. Then the enemy comes in, ooh, it's too good here. So since I can't get you with the people at work, I can't get you with the people at church, I can't get you the people in your family, let me turn you against yourself. And if we allow him to turn us against ourselves, he has us, guys. Why do I say he has us? He has us because you're grown. Can't nobody think you do anything. On my job, I am a supervisor. I can tell these people what I want to tell them. I can write them up. You know, people are still late for work. Before they be there at 8:30, they come 8:40. Hey, Mr. Griffin, how you doing? Well, I'm good because I was here at 8 o'clock. They don't care about my sarcasm because they're grown. And if I push them too far, did you get my email? Affected immediately. I'm not working here anymore. So my point of saying that is, if the devil gets you to turn against yourself, stay in the bed, not be productive, then he has us. So we have to, in order to prepare to move, we have to fix our vision. Amen? The next story comes from Exodus, the 16th chapter. In this story, what happens is Moses and the people are moving. They're making a movement. And they're so accustomed to being in captivity. So they're having to go to another level with God. And so what God is saying, hey, I'm going to provide manna for you every single day. I'm going to feed you every single day. You don't have to worry. Think about you growing up. You knew your family structure, that your father was going to make the money. You know he was, as the saying is, he's going to buy the bacon. He's going to bring the bacon home. Your mama's going to cook it. You didn't have to worry about anything because you were a child. You were going to be taken care of. God has made this same promise. What he gave them was, you can have this manna, but you cannot store it. You know, I'm feeding you every day. You're not supposed to keep any of it. But because of fear, because of comfortability, because of things always being the same, they got afraid. And so they began to store up items to eat later. Something happened to the stuff they stored up. It spoiled. When they went to eat it the next morning, it wasn't there. They couldn't eat it. That right there goes into obedience. So what we dealt with first was God wants us to change our vision. The second thing, our obedience to him. And talking to Mama Nan yesterday, when she was talking about the process she was in, she began to share that God had given her a word, and he was telling her, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you and your kids. But he said something, and what she shared that was so key, sometimes I'm not going to answer you until 30 seconds before you need it. So what she was saying, she had to get herself to a place where she did not panic, where she did not overthink, because God had given her a word, I'm going to provide for you. And in that story, what she told me, Sister Abigail, is every single time she had a need, it was met. Every single time. There was not one time that God did not do what he was saying he was going to do. It required her obedience. It requires our obedience the way God said to do it. So in this, since he told them not to store up, they shouldn't. But here's where it gets a little interesting. It gets a little interesting. Verse 12, it says, let me go, Marcus, you go back one slide for me. The people are complaining. And in their complaining, in their complaint, verse 2, it says, in the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Marcus, go over one. What's happening is their complaint against the men of God has gotten to God. So God tells Moses to call the people together. I want to speak to them. And when he speaks to them, he not only, he shows himself in a different way, and he feels like he leaves some food there when they see him. But what he was teaching the people is obedience. Your obedience to your leader matters. If Pastor Nunn says, we're going on a fast, or we're doing a new initiative, it's not our job to correct him. Or to say, are you sure you heard from God? Our job is to follow the man of God. We say he's our leader, right? Now, this is not on my notes, and he doesn't know what I'm preaching about, so he didn't tell me to say any of this. But I do feel that I am a man of God, and I feel that I hear from God, so I'm telling you what I'm hearing in this moment. So in that, they are our leaders. Your obedience matters. Because when you're not obedient to them who God has placed over us, you open yourself for danger. Because you're out of alignment. I'm not telling anyone to leave. You can find two better pastor and first lady. But if you find that you're not going to be able to follow under their leadership, then maybe you do need to consider that this may not be the place for you. I mean that with no disrespect. But if you are going to follow them, we have to follow up under their guidelines. So if they tell us no, it's no for right now. Because the way God deals with order, he speaks to the head first. He doesn't speak to me first. And let's just say you have that relationship with God that he does. I don't think he's going to because that's not his normal system. But let's say he does. I need to wait until they speak it first. And then when they speak it, then I follow. Because they're the leaders and they're following God. Going back to this example here, what God ends up saying in verse 16, he said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man from them which are in his tent. What that verse is saying is God proved himself. He did not say, hey, everybody who comes through this assembly line can only get one this, one that. Whatever you normally eat, get it. Hire man people in your family, get it. But it goes back to what he was saying. I want to show you every day. Because what he's actually doing, he's building relationships. So since he's building relationships with the people, he wants them to learn to trust him. Is this making sense? It's all right. So in that, we have to fix our vision about ourselves, and we have to fix our obedience to God. So what God is requiring from us, because all this goes to in preparing for moving, it first starts with God. Where are you moving me to? What do you want me to have? What do you want me to do? And because you're asking God, he's going to speak to you, and he's going to, you know, have you write that list out. Everything goes back to the list. So vision, also obedience. The last point that I should make deals with trust. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So we have vision, we have obedience, and now we're at trust. Trust is not easy for me. Well, most people say, I trust you until proven that you can't be trusted. I'm the complete opposite. In preparing this message, I went back to a memory. I was working at the YMCA, so years ago, and they wanted us to do this trust activity. So you had to get up a certain height, you had to turn around, cross your arms, and you have to fall into these people's hands. So I decided I was going to be last because I was trying to, I can do this. I can do it. Now, I don't know these people, but I can do it. And everybody just, Terrence, everybody just falling. And they're catching them. And I'm like, I can do this. So two people before me. Okay. And don't, I'm going to say something. No offense. This lady before me was a heavy set lady, and she sat heavy. And so in that process, I was like, this is going to be interesting. And so I'm looking. Now, if they catch her, then surely they gonna catch me. So she goes down, there's no bounce, they catch her, and she's happy. And so it's my turn, Renee. And I couldn't do it. And so they're trying to coax me along. Come on, Marcus, we're your friends. First of all, we're not. I told you I don't know these people. Yeah, we do all have this badge, YMCA, and we've been through training. We shared a donut and coffee. But I couldn't do it. So finally, after they realized I wasn't going to do it, and I realized it too, they walked me down, and they told me to go through a process of whatever. I think God had me to go back to that moment for this message was that moment was so real to me. Although I saw these other people fall, they got caught. I couldn't let go of my insecurities. I couldn't let go that I've been dropped before. Maybe not physically, but somebody related to me that I love, I thought would catch me. It became a real moment. I began to think about childhood and things that happened to me, adulthood, things that were said to me. Interesting, Abigail. At this point, when this story happened, I'm about 22, 23, so I've made it through childhood. I got some college, but I hadn't taken it out of my mind yet. So this one exercise, I couldn't do. Why am I sharing this with you guys? It's because, is it possible we see God the same way? I want to trust you, but I've been hurt. I want to believe in you, but I'm blocked. When we look back at the other stories, Exodus and Numbers, there was a trust factor in all of that. When we look at the people of Israel, it's easy for me to stand in judgment that God is saying he's going to give you manna every day. Why not trust him? What I'm not considering is their past. They'd always been in a situation where somebody told them what to do. Although it was abuse and anger, and it wasn't anything we would want to live in, it was their reality. And you get into a place. You ever been where your mom tells you to go get your switch? You're like, you get this switch, and they're going to tell you to sit on this X. And you okay, that was just my family. Y'all have X's in your family? Okay, no worries. So we're going to sit on this X, and you get accustomed to the licks. You get accustomed to the words. I know what they're going to say. It's going to be fine. It'll last like 5 minutes. I'll heal. I'll cry. I'll perform. It'll be over. they had got accustomed to being in that environment. So you're taking me out of this environment, and you're telling me to trust you. Can we also say it's possible that because of the abuse that they took, that they blame God? I know we're in church. I know it's Sunday, and I know we're not supposed to say we don't trust God. I know that. I know the rules of being a Christian. But is it possible that some of us are still in places that I can't trust God with all of this? You know, think about when you invite somebody to your home. You clean up the living room, you clean up the bathroom, you clean up the kitchen. Now, this is as far as this is going. This is as far as it's going. Do we give God that limited access as well? Could that be possible? So in it, what we have to do, although we understand these people, although we understand ourselves, the Bible says trust in the Lord. There is no if. There is no but. It's just trust in the Lord. So since that's a commandment that I have to do this, I have to fix my relationship with God. And I have to actually say, teach me how to trust. Teach me how to trust you. And then allow him to take me on this journey of trust. So, truth and love, God is going to do some amazing things for this ministry through this leadership. But we have to fix our vision first. We have to fix ourselves first. We have to stop seeing ourselves as just this small ministry. The same old, same old, same old. Because we serve this big old God. We have a man who's filled with vision. So let's rally behind him and help him fulfill the vision. There's something for everybody to do. Your ministry may not sing, and so you may not have the microphone. But if you can smile, if you have a heart of service, stop thinking of yourself as smaller than. When I read what they had in the program, they said, we've always tried to make this a family environment where there's no big up, big U's and little I's. We're all the same. So in that, they can't fix it for us. We have to fix ourselves, and we fix it through prayer. God, fix me. Help me to get over my hurt, my pain, my misunderstanding, my dislike, my crazy ways, my crazy thinking. Help me. After we move there, we have to work on our obedience to God first. That's another prayer. God, I have not obeyed nobody, not even my mother and my dad, not the people on my job, and now you want me to come into this church building and trust? Pastor Nunn puts his pants on the same way I do. Yes, he does. But is your name on that out there saying, Pastor? It's not. So in that, although we may wear the same size and suit, I'll never be under the weight that he's under. So then my job becomes being obedient to God. I begin to pray for the man of God. I begin to pray for the woman of God. In obedience, I may not agree. I may not even like what is said. But because my covering said he heard from God or she heard from God, then I work on my obedience. And then the last thing with trusting, maybe you are like me that you've had some scars to happen. Maybe you couldn't fall into the hands of anybody else. But it's something that has to be dealt with. And talking to my big brother yesterday or today, he made a statement and he was talking about how when you don't deal with something, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So think of a small child who doesn't deal with anger issues at the age 5. You know, we think of everything. He's so cute. You see, he hit me back. But then he get a teenager and he hits you back. It's not as cute anymore. You're looking for your peace. And then you go, I brought you in this world, all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But it was cute at five. But this man now is a grown man with children. And this anger still hasn't been dealt with. So you put him in a situation, he's going to perform for us. And every man, that's who?
A king
and a fool. So we're trying to see which one we want to appeal to. And although comical, trust is a big thing because it requires you to be selfless. It requires you to put yourself at bay and follow someone else. When I look at their relationship, Mama Nun is a good wife to her husband. She falls up under his authority. One is, she had been married before, and this is all Marcus, she had been married before under somebody else's authority, so she knew a different thing when she saw it. Because as men, and I know you're about to get married, Marcus, our job is not to control women. Our job is to be their covering. So in being their covering, we have to know them. We have to put them in a place you can trust me with your heart. You can trust me with your life. And when a woman doesn't feel that she's covered, she's going to start doing her own thing. Own thing as in not coming to you. You walk home and this guy working on this car. How did he get here? Well, I didn't know what you were going to say, so I got to go to work. So I had to. But if the order's off some. Because she should have checked with her husband first. But in the process of that, going back to them, she doesn't mind submitting to him. They don't go through this, well, I'm the man, and I make the money, and all of that foolishness. Because they talk to each other. They have their own way of communicating with each other. When they're upset with each other, they go to their corners, as in he may, you know, get in his car, and she may go cook or do something. But it's not where there are no pans being thrown around. There are no hidden below the belt wars being thrown around. Now, we could say, well, they've been married for a very long time. That is true. But they didn't start off like this. He had his own mindset. She had her own mindset. But they decided, everybody said decided. They decided that we want to have a relationship that pleases God. So although there's some rockiness sometimes, because we're human beings, we're going to take things how we take them. We're going to accidentally hurt people's feelings. But there's a process of coming back together. Why am I putting them here? It's because, once again, not only because we're honoring them, but because they are our example. So we have to learn to get in harmony with each other. When we come to this ministry, it's not about them. It's not about us. It's our relationship joining together to give God worship that goes with our trust. I'm going to sit down, but I want to make sure I cover this last part, because when I was ending it, God gave me various specific things. And it was about truth and love, and it was God wants to expand you. God wants to expand the church. But what he made me deal with is we look at numbers and it's not about numbers. What he's calling for is more service to others. God wants to make your name great in the earth. He wants to expand your relationships, your homes, your vehicles, your lifestyles. But he wants you to make sure that your relationship with him is fixed first. God wants to make you live the life, or allow you to live the life, a life of more abundance. But in that, bringing more abundance to truth and love, he wants to ensure that you're already handling the stuff that you're supposed to handle now with care. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about each other. Making sure that we're in alignment. It's easy to say on Sundays, I'm praying for you. When Monday through Saturday, you're not even thinking about me. It's easy to say, if you need me, call me. But I'm praying you don't call me. It's easy to say, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So when a conflict happens, we can resolve it. But when you come and talk to me, my disposition says, I wish you would. I wish you would say the wrong thing. And I'm going to go off on you. Because see, love is many things. The love of God is many things. It feels many things. But we as people have got to learn to master confrontation. It's not something we're good at because we automatically are hearing. Yeah, tell me, what you guys say? I'm listening to what you're saying, but I'm ready that if you said the wrong thing. So in it, God is not requiring that we're perfect. He requires that we work this journey together to go to greater heights. Love all of you. Thank you once again for this opportunity. It's in your hands.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe and share with someone you know. And tune in next week for more sermons from Truth and Love Ministries.